Welcome to part two of our series, Vessels of Honor. And right here, I'd just like to take this moment, as I always like to do right here, and that is welcome all those that are watching us online. Come on, can everybody just give some love? We're so glad to have you here. You're part of our church today. And we're really excited about this series, Vessels of Honor. And I'm just so honored to be your pastor, where I have a lot of vessels of honor that are serving the Lord faithfully. I appreciate every one of you. We have something called a dream team around here, and they're a team that a pastor could only dream of, you know. So anyway, I just want to give a shout out to the dream team, and also to our small group leader, Pastor Steve Guptill, who's doing a phenomenal job. And talk about a guy with a calling. This guy has found his calling, and he's doing it well. And so I encourage you, as you heard, we've got small group coming up, and if we have a small group that you enjoy, like the looks of, and want to join in with, I encourage you to jump in. But also, if we don't have what you're looking for, we encourage you to start a small group of your own, and Pastor Steve will show you how to do that. That's next week following the service. We'd be glad to have you be a part of that. It's easy to do, and we'll show you how, because we just really believe that life change happens in the context of relationships, and so we're a church not just with small groups, but a church of small groups, okay? And that's who we really are. We think it's that important. I want to jump right into this series, and I want to give you an opportunity to pull out of your worship guides. There is a there's message notes there inside that you can pull out and follow along with us. There'll be some blanks to fill in. And if you're watching online, those notes are available right now online at our website. Just go to today's message, and those notes are available to you as well. I want to begin with the theme verse for this series found in 2 Timothy, and I'll have it up here also on the screen. If you don't have your Bibles with you, you may have this form, you may have, what's the other form? iPhone, whatever it is. I'm sorry, did I offend all those that are non-iPhone people? But anyway, just follow along with us. But look at this scripture, it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, that says, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. So there's vessels that are, let me put it to you this way. There's, in your house, there's paper plates and Tupperware bowls, right? Can I get a witness? Am I the only one that's got those Tupperware bowls? Our fine china, that's what we eat salad out of, right? Okay. But also of wood, there's wood and clay, so there's paper plates, but then there's those vessels of gold and silver, and that's the fine china that you get out when only the guests come, that you're not allowed to eat on until, you know, it just sits there in the china cabinet until somebody special comes. But can I just tell you something, that God wants us to be the vessels of honor because he has a work for us to do. It says there's some for honor and some for dishonor. It goes on to say, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter. So in other words, you have a choice in what kind of vessel you are for God. It says, if you cleanse yourself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor. Sanctified, that means simply set apart. You're special. You are the special china, okay? And useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And I've shared with this church, I believe God's got a good work for us to do. Our business is not about us just protecting what's ours and standing behind these four walls in a holy huddle, us for no more. But we are in the business, as I said, one of our four things, the fourth thing was that we make a difference in the life of someone else. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to set the captives free. I just think somebody needs to hear that today. Jesus came to set the captives free, and there is life to be found. And so we believe that your life can change. And so the Master has called us in that work to do, and that's the work that he came to do. Jesus said that he came to seek and to save that which is lost. And then he invites us in that work. But he wants us to be a vessel that is usable, that's prepared, that's ready to be used in his service. And so that's really the premise of this series, is that at the beginning of this year, let's set ourselves aside. Let's choose to be vessels of honor. And we're going to talk about that throughout this series of how we can prepare ourselves. There's things for us to do to present ourselves as a vessel of honor so God can use us throughout this entire year. And this year will look like no other year. Things will change this year in our life and even through our life as we surrender as vessels of honor to him. Now, notice it says that it tells us that this can happen. It shows us what can happen. But then it goes on to show us how these things can happen. Look at verse 22. He says, "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So he says, flee also youthful lust and follow after what is right. And so when we look at this, there's some things for us to do. There's a list there. He says there's some things for us to flee and there's some things for us to pursue. We're to flee youthful lust and we're to pursue, he mentions four things: righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So I wanted you to write this down. Just I want to simplify what he's really saying here. Write this down there in your notes. Number one, run away from what is wrong. That's kind of simple, isn't it? Run away from what is wrong. The word is flee. Run from it. Don't play with it. Don't entertain it. Don't put up with it. Don't, you know, mediate it. No. Flee from it. Flee what is wrong and run after what is right. So in other words, we're forsaking and we're following. And last week we had a fundamental message for this series, very foundational. I encourage you, if you missed that, that's available online. You can go back and listen to that again. The message notes are there from last week and catch that, because we talked about really what this thing of honor really means, and also concluded with the fact that as we live this life of honor, it involves leaving some things. It concluded with this goal of pursuing God, where we say, have your way. We're following him, and we're saying, my way doesn't work, but your way does work. And so it involves, when it says, when we're talking about running away from what is wrong and running after what is right, and he says, he puts it this way, forsake youthful lust. And can I just say, that's not just talking about sexual lust, but it's talking about all those selfish things, those childish things, those immature things we did as a youth, those immature things. Now pursue those things that makes us mature and makes us grow. And he says, pursue righteousness. Or in other words, as we talked about, concluded last week, we're going to pursue God. We're pursuing God. And so there's an action step in that pursuing God. One of those action steps is prayer. And that's what we're doing right now. We're doing 21 days of prayer and fasting. We do that always at the beginning of each year. We do it again, the praying part, in August. We say you can pray and feast if you want to in August, but we want to make sure we pray and fast at the beginning of the year, and we're setting some things aside. We're drawing close to God. We're disconnecting from this world so we can connect with God, because too many times we're too connected with the world and disconnected with God. Can I get an amen right there? Okay, it's so true. And so we're saying we're going to pursue God. And so we're talking to everyone else about the problem. Now it's time to talk with God. We've tried our way, but now let's try God's way. And so I encourage you with that 21 days. We heard just a moment ago on our Crosspoint News some details about that and some materials you can download. Actually, this thing right here, which is a manual, a personal prayer guide, it gives all kind of help on that. All of these pages, all of those are available online. So I encourage you to go online, download that, and use that as a tool. And then let me put it another way, and that is that, write this down, we're to forsake wrong paths and pursue God's way. God does have a way. Usually it's not our way, and our way is always not the best way, but God's way is always the best way. A little religious term we use in that, we call it repent. And that's kind of a scary term. I know when you hear the word repent, you just picture the guy out on the corner with a bullhorn, you know, with the red letters, repent. Well, actually, what that term simply means is we turn around. We were going one direction, but now we're going to go a different direction. This direction did not work. It's not working. We're frustrated with life, but now this other direction is going to bring life as we follow God. So we turn around. We begin to follow Him. We go a different direction. We take a step in the right direction. Write this one down. Stop speaking my words and start speaking God's words. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. I'm just building on laying a platform here. But this is so important. James says that the tongue is like a rudder of a ship. It'll guide where the ship goes. And I think that's what prayer does for us. It helps us to quit just the murmuring and complaining, because worry is not praying. And sometimes we just worry and we murmur and we speak it out and we spew it out and it runs and dribbles off of our neck like drool, and we all our problems, and it's everywhere we go, and it gives us bad breath because everywhere we go we're spewing it. You know what I'm saying? It's okay to laugh in church, y'all. I'm trying. I'm working it. Come on. Pulling it out of you, all right? But look at this. But when we begin to pray, when we begin not just to pray our words, but begin to speak God's word. You see, often our opinions get us in trouble. Our opinions are many times filled with pride. And say, well, I know what I believe, and I got my opinion. But oftentimes, if we would check ourselves, our opinion can be filled with pride and prejudice and history of offenses and pain, and it's tainted by our own experiences, and it's limited by our personal perspective. We can't see clearly. It's skewed by our bad choices. In other words, our opinions can be very carnal or fleshly, that's called, or earthly, carnality in the sense of just something that's negative, but then maybe it's something that's just over extreme. Well, we call it pride in the other direction. We're filled with maybe even religious pride. Well, I'm not of the world. I'm a religious person. But then we could be filled with religious pride, and we think we know it all. Come on, somebody. So our opinions, what I'm trying to show you, our opinions often get us into trouble. But there's God's word that's greater than our word. There's God's view and perspective that's greater than our view and perspective and opinion. And let me just give you this. I don't have this up on the screen for you, but Ephesians chapter 6 describes some spiritual armor that we're to put on as Christians. Some of you are aware of that. When you were kids, you actually put on those plastic things that represented those things. You got the helmet of salvation, you know, you got the breastplate of righteousness, and your loins girt about with truth, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and you got the shield of faith. Come on, all that stuff, you know. And then it talks about the sword of the Spirit. You've got all that, those things. And the Bible says that we're in a warfare. And it's so true. We're in a spiritual warfare. And there's weapons of our, the Bible says, it goes on to say that our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not earthly, but mighty through God to the pulling of down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every evil thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. So we've got some things that we can use, some tools that God has given us. We have this thing called the shield of faith, and that kind of guards us, right? It says you can quench the fiery darts of the enemy. In other words, the enemy starts throwing in stuff to you that's contrary to God's word and contrary to God's will in your life. You have a defense mechanism, right, to deflect that. And it protects your heart, because your heart is where your faith is found. It's a shield of faith. It protects the heart, the inward part of you. But then there's something called the sword of the Spirit. Interesting about these things is that they're kind of all on the front of you. Because we're supposed to be moving forward, somebody said. You like that? I like that, you know? And so, but then there's all of them seem to be kind of defensive, protective. But then there's the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is described as the Word of God. And I got to thinking about this. I thought to myself, well, really, if the shield is to protect our hearts, in our heart is where we believe, where faith resides. But the sword of the Spirit speaks of the Word of God. It's something that we speak. Even how do we come to salvation? It's by believing in our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, right? That He was born and the Virgin Mary, and He was crucified. He died for our sins. He paid our sin debt for us so we wouldn't have to. Why would you want to pay your own debt when it's already been paid for you? Come on. And so we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, that He's coming again. We believe in our heart. But then there's the sword of the Spirit. So it says, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. So there's something important about confessing, about the Word in our life. So we protect ourselves with the shield of faith, but we speak the Word of God. There's a speaking. So we need to stop speaking our words and start speaking God's word. Even Revelation, those of you that tuned in yesterday and was with us in prayer yesterday, might have heard Pastor Chris referring to a scripture in Revelation that said that that at the end of the time there was those that overcame by the word of their testimony. There's overcoming power in your word. He described that as that represents prayer, that we're to pray, that we're to speak God's word, but we must stop speaking our words and start speaking God's word. No, then write this one down. Refuse to accept the lie and fully believe the truth. So again, believing in your heart and speaking it with your mouth, what we speak, right? The enemy's job is to the enemy's job is to sow lies. The Bible says he's the father of lies. That's his native language. But the good news is, listen to this, while the enemy sows lies, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. He's the truth. He's not a lie. He's the truth and the life. And Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Some of us have bought into the lies of the enemy, and we have been led captive. You're captive by that thing, that habit, that addiction, that person, that past, that sin, that guilt, that shame, whatever that is, you're held captive by that thing and can't get past that. But Jesus said you'll know the truth, and not just knowing as in knowledge, but you'll know as in relationship with Him. You'll have an experience with Him and know who He is, and that will set you free and your life will be changed. Come on, that's good news. By the way, that's available today. That's available today. Jesus comes with truth that you may be free. Jesus, listen to this. You might want to write this down somewhere where you got some extra space. Jesus is truth. And not only is Jesus truth, he is truth, but he is the Word. The Word of truth. And these are some extras, but let me just lay some foundation. I'm going to get some practicals at the end of this, some practical steps and things that we can do to apply this to our life. But I got to go here for just a moment. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Skip down to verse 14 of that same chapter, and it says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. What is it speaking? Who's it speaking about there? It's speaking about none other than Jesus. Jesus is the Word, and He became flesh. He allowed Himself to be put in this thing called the human body, but He was 100% man, yet 100% God. That's amazing. A couple weeks, I'm going to share a little bit more about that as we conclude this series. But look at this. Jesus came, and it says that then He was full of grace and truth. So when we say, well, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a Christian, I believe God, I believe He exists, I believe He's there, whatever. But it's not just believing about Him, it's believing on Him. Even the Bible says even the demons believe. But that doesn't make him a Christian, right? So this thing is not, and look at this, it's following, to follow Jesus means, you getting this? To follow His Word, because He is the Word. It's so important to understand this. Last week we talked about pursuing righteousness. Today I want to talk about pursuing faith. And we can say, well, pursuing, it says we're to pursue faith, right? Pursue faith, and sometimes faith, the question is faith in what? We've got faith, but we're also oftentimes putting faith in the wrong place. It's misplaced faith, or I should say, or in who. You can say, I believe in God, but listen, believing in God is more than a belief system. It's following Christ. It's not, and I think sometimes that's a bad representation of the church. We just think that following Jesus just means believing in Him. No, it's more to it than that. It's more than just believing that He exists. It's following Him with our life. It's following Christ. It's following Him. And so if that means that we're following Christ, that means His Word, there's an action step. Last week an action step was prayer. Today's action step is that we need to follow His Word. Okay? Right? We need to follow His Word. If following Jesus, and Jesus is the Word, right? Then that means we need to be following His Word. So we can't just be saying, I follow Jesus, but this Word, I don't know about this. There's some things I'd like to change in here. It doesn't fit my life. It doesn't fit our culture. It doesn't fit our generation today. So there's some things in here that, I'll rip this out and rip this out. Skip over that. That makes me uncomfortable. Let's go over here. Now, actually, following Jesus means following His Word. It is our guide. And it's not here, listen, it's not here to cramp your style. Come on, it's here to give you style. I just made that up. You like that? That's pretty good, right? It's here to make your day, not ruin your day. Every law in this thing that's written, none of them were written for God. Read them. They're all written for you, that you might have life and that you might have it to the fullest. It's to free you so you can really experience what life was really all about all along, what God created you to be and who He created you to be, so you experience Him in the fullness of Him. Amen. That's good news, everybody. And so that's powerful. Listen, Jesus' claim, His own claim about the Word, this is what He said in John 6:63. He said, "The words that I speak to you are spirit and life." So it's not just written words on a page. They're spirit, and the word there, spirit, is the word pneuma, which actually means breath, and you couldn't write breath, you know, the words I speak are breath, but it's saying spirit, and it's really the breath of God. The breath of God, and they are life. So what that's saying is there's a power. There's a spirit there. There's a power that comes alongside those words. There's the breath of God, listen to this, for the fulfillment of what He has just said. There's a power to fulfill what God's Word has just said. There's a power, listen, to fulfill His Word inside of you so that this thing can become alive inside of you. It's alive. It's alive. Amen. In fact, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active." It's living. Everybody say that. For the Word of God is living and active. So it's not just a historical book. It's a historical book. It's in the Smithsonian Institute, you know, right? It records history. But no, it's more than that. It is alive. I want us to get the power of this. Hebrews 4:22 says, "It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So what does that mean? It penetrates and it divides. That's just another way of saying it's going to get up inside your stuff. It's going to mess with you. But what it's going to do, it's going to bring you life. It judges the attitude of the heart and it changes you from the inside. It begins to heal you on the inside. It has the power to fulfill God's Word on the inside of you. And the cool part about this is you're not just getting information, but you're getting the power to do the information. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? I want to see how this happens. Let's go back to our foundational scripture that talks about how we're to be vessels of honor. And I told you last week, I'm going to just kind of expand out from that. I'm going to go with that verse. I'm going to go above it. And I'm going to below it there. I'm going to take it in context. I want to see what surrounds that scripture. And I want to back up to verse 14. I want you to see this, because he's talking again about us being vessels of honor and what we need to do to become vessels of honor. Because sometimes we can get so sidetracked and we think we're a paper plate when we're a fine piece of china. All right? He says, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words." Now notice he's putting a lot of emphasis on what we speak and about words. I'm showing you God's way. God's way is God's Word. "To strive about words of to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Again, the word of truth. So he wants us again to be vessels to carry this word of truth, vessels of honor. Verse 16 says, "But shame profane and idle babblings." I just want to pause right there. Shame profane and idle social media, okay, y'all know how to put that in there, and all this nonsense that gets you distracted on things that really don't matter. Can I just preach? Can I just pastor for just a minute? I mean, you know, you get all worked up in a bunch of stuff that really doesn't matter. "For they increase to more ungodliness," verse 17, thank you for letting me just pastor right there, "and their message will spread like cancer." And look at this, "Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort," who he mentioned a couple of people who have strayed concerning the truth. By the way, that's what the enemy's trying to do to get us to steer from the truth from the very beginning. He went to Adam and Eve, said, "Did God say?" Well, God didn't really mean that. And therefore, here we are. Right? Come on. Got to get back to the truth. "Staying," look at this, "who have strayed from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already passed, and they overthrow the faith of some." So they've been misled. They're off course. They've missed it. Okay, look what it goes on to say. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having the seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and that everyone, look at this, there's some instructions. There's something for us to do here. Let everyone who names the name of Christ, don't just say, well, I'm a follower, I believe in him. Look, depart from iniquity. So there's a way to live and a way not to live. There's a way to go, there's a way not to go. There's some choices to make. You could be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor, right? So he says, there's something for you to do. Then he goes, and let me jump on the other side of our theme scripture. Let's go to the next verse that follows that. He says, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they gender strife. Do I need to park right there a while, or you got that one, right? So avoid foolish and ignorant disputes of things that just really doesn't matter, right? Focus on really what matters. Let me show you God's way. Proverbs 4:14-12 says this, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Well, I got my opinion, and I'm just going to go this direction. And another thing is, I'm the way I am, and I can't help it. I've always been this way. I got a history. You don't understand my life. You don't understand my past. You don't understand what I've been through. You don't know. In fact, you don't know my daddy, because he was this way, and his daddy before him, and I'll always be this way. Or I'm from, I better not go there. I'm from some part of the country that's just kind of our go-to. You know what I'm saying? Or I won't go to color of hair or anything like that. Or you know, I'm going to get in trouble here yet. I know I am. But, you know, we blame it on all these things. Our nationality, what part of the country we're from, you know, what our pedigree is. You know, but I want to go that way. But the Bible says that our way ends in destruction, right? God's way of life is found by following his word. Write that down. God's way is found, it's discovered. I'm telling you, it'll bring you out. It'll set you free. It'll change your life when you begin to do things God's way. Have you discovered yet that your way's not working? I don't have to really worry about people who wander off and go the wrong way, because they're going to discover, they'll be back, because they'll discover their way doesn't work. This way works. God's way works. It brings life. It brings peace. It brings joy. It makes all of this stuff called life make sense. It makes going to work and hitting the time clock and coming home and going to bed and getting all up and doing it all over again. It makes it all make sense. It gives fulfillment in the middle of all of that. We understand the full picture of it and what God is doing in our life when we follow his word. And let me give you some steps, some practical steps, okay? First of all, when we talk about following his word, that means, number one, write this down, I must accept its authority. So it begins with attitude about this book. So we've got to look at this book as not just a good book from a good man. No, we've got to decide it's the inerrant, infallible, perfect word of God, or it's not, right? And you say, but there's some things in here I don't understand. You know what? There's some things about digestion I don't understand, but I still eat. I'll prove it to you after 21 days, okay? There's a lot of things, and I think we need to be okay with, you'll never understand it all. I don't think it has to do with what we do or don't understand. I think it has to do with what we do know and don't do. Should I repeat that? Don't ask me to repeat that. I think we worry so much about the maps and everything in the back and everything that has, you know, and I don't understand this. And that'll always be the case. Because God doesn't want you to just come to him intellectually with your brain. He wants to come to you with your spirit, with your heart, and believe upon him and trust him. He wants you to enter into a relationship where you got to rely upon him. And by the way, if you understood everything about God, he wouldn't be God. And if everything could fit, I don't know about, I've said this before, but everything could fit in here. If God could fit in this size brain, you wouldn't want to serve him. Trust me. Trust me. I'm okay with not understanding everything about God. I believe when we get to heaven, the biggest sound that you'll hear is not the angelic choir singing hallelujah. I think it'll be a big gasp of, oh, you really did know what you were doing. Wow. This does make sense after all, God. But in the meantime, the Bible says we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. But now we trust him. Now we got to depend on him day by day. That's the way God wants it, because he wants your heart. He doesn't want your stuff. He wants your heart, guys. And so we got to accept its authority. And that's difficult in today's world. Because also we say, well, when in this world there's cultural differences. Now, things have changed in our culture. Let me just remind you of something. I just want to stand firm on this today. And that is that culture changes, but God doesn't. Amen? God doesn't change. Come on, everybody. I'm giving you good news. I'm saying this with a smile on my face. God doesn't change. God doesn't change. It's a challenge, I know. It's a challenge with this generation. It's a challenge. 1 Thessalonians says this, and we also thank God continually because when you received, that word received in the Greek actually means you welcomed in the stranger. In other words, I didn't fully understand it, but by faith I received. See, some things you don't understand on one side of the door. You got to walk through the door. When you get through the door, you go, oh, now I understand. You'll never understand until you get on the inside. You can't understand what's on the inside from the outside. You follow me? So we accept, we receive. Receive the word which you have heard from us, and you accepted it, not as the word of men, but actually as it is the word of God, which is at work, I love this, at work in you who believe. It has the power to change your life. And I just want to say, this word is infallible. I'm not. If I ever say anything that's not in this word, don't follow me. Follow the word, right? This word, I just want to say at Crosspoint, we stand on God's word. It is the filter for what is right and what is wrong. Some things are written and some things are principled. But we're going to live our life as close as we can. Listen, I don't want to live as close as I can to the world and barely make it in. I want to live as close to God as I can. Come on. That's where the comfort area is. That's where the peace is. Where, and you say, well, what about this? Can I do this and can I do that? Let me tell you, if you get close enough to God, you don't have to worry about that. That stuff will just fall off of you. Because the more you get close to Christ, listen, the Bible says that we're being conformed day by day into His image. The closer we get to Him, the more we begin to look like Him. The holier we become, not the more worldly, the holier we become. The more I spend time with my wife, she doesn't like this, but the more we look like each other. You know what I'm saying? Number two, I must assimilate its truth. I must assimilate its truth. So I got to work it into all areas of my life. That word assimilate means I got to work it all areas of my life. So I'm going to work it into my marriage. I'm going to work it into my finances. Come on, there's an area. We're offering a small group called Financial Peace University. We got it on the calendar coming up. You need to get in that. If you're having trouble with your finances, saying, I'm struggling in that area, guess what? There's some God principles that will change your finances. Amen? Those of you that take an FPU, can I get an amen? Amen. A strong amen right there. Okay. So that was our small group. That was our FPU coordinator over there. Okay. And it'll change your life. Financial Peace University. Get in that. Get involved in that. But I must assimilate it. And I want to give you some sub breakdowns here of how to assimilate its truth. First of all, by listening to God's word. Very quickly, by listening to God's word. And you think, that means that you've got to hear it, and that means you need to put yourself into a position to hear it. I want to encourage you to be strategic in listening to God's word. Put it on your calendar of opportunities to listen to God's word. Now, I'm going to say something that may sound, you know, I hope you know me well enough to know I'm not hard. My job is I'm just trying to be a tour guide to help you know how to experience life. But my hope is that you'll understand that there is a priority to church, to being in church. Well, it's quiet. We need to prioritize being in church. I'll just say amen myself. It's good preaching. Amen. Amen. Preach it. We need to prioritize that in our life. It is so important. Jesus was regularly going to the synagogue, right? So I don't know about you, but I'm not missing church. I'm gonna figure out how to do vacation in a way that I can get back here from church. Well, you got to. You're the pastor. Listen, I did this before I was pastoring, all right? It's been my life to be in church. It's part of who I am. I just want to be in His presence. I want to hear His word. I need it. Come on. Some of you say, well, I'm not missing lunch today, right? I'm not missing lunch today or whenever your fast is over. Well, I don't know what kind of fast you're doing. But I got to make sure I eat. You don't expect me. You're at work, and they say, "Well, can you just skip your lunch break?" No, you're gonna get lunch, right? Well, guess what? How come we skip the Word of God and we're starving spiritually, right? Feed yourself. spiritually, be in God's Word, right? Prioritize that. Romans 10 and 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. By the way, if any of you are on YouVersion, that's the verse of the day today. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So put yourself in that position. Jesus, when he was speaking of the parable of the seed and the sower, in Luke 8 and 18, he says, therefore consider carefully how you listen. So put yourself in that position. Secondly, by reading God's Word. Write that one down. I assimilate by reading God's Word. And that's obvious. But I want to just say, read it like a meal. I'm talking a lot about meals today, Anna. Okay. Read it like a meal. And during these 21 days, the time that you would eat, open up the Bible and eat. Jesus said it's the bread of life. Some of you could go for some bread right now, right? You'd be surprised that when you're on a fast, you get the Word in you, how it satisfies you. Amen? Amen. Matthew 4:4 says, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And can I encourage you just something real practical? I know y'all got it on digital form, but get a Bible where it's your Bible. You know, where you mark it, you know it is. You say, I can't find it in anybody's Bible, but I know where it is in this Bible. It's on page whatever, upper left-hand corner. You know, you know it. You can cuddle up with it. You can get close. There's studies that actually show there's more retention in a paper Bible than digital. Plus, on digital, you get distracted, right? There's something that pops up. I'm going over here, right? Get a Bible. Go to our website and do the daily Bible reading. But then pick up your Bible and begin to read and do that. Just a practical thing that you can do. Get a paper Bible. Set aside a time. Right. Set aside a time. Be strategic. Have a plan. Don't just randomly whatever. Have a reading plan. And many of those are available on YouVersion Bible app. You can pick one out there. And then listen to this. Don't just read the Bible, but let the Bible read you. Amen. Let it change your life. Let the Spirit of God speak to you as you study His Word. And then another practical is this, by exploring God's Word. By exploring God's Word. And by that, I would just say, do it with others. That's why we do small groups. Get into a small group. All of them are not Bible studies. Some of them are just around different interests, and that's fine, but we bring spiritual components into that. Start a group. Come on, you can start. You can get on. Anybody can press a DVD, can start a group, right? And get into a group where you can break it down and explore God's Word. And this is what happens in that setting. Psalm 119, 11 says, I have hidden your Word in my heart. I've hidden it in my heart that I might not sin against you. And when we hide it in our heart, come on, we got it in our heart. What happens? Sin goes away. When we get into a small group, we're breaking down the Word, the Word's getting into our life. Guess what? You begin to experience freedom. Come on, you begin to break that thing off of you that never broke off of you before. That's what we want for people to find freedom. That begins to break apart off of you when you get into accountability with someone else and they know you and you can speak into their life and they can speak into your life, and that's when real life change happens. Amen? Right. So look at this. So I must accept its authority, I must assimilate its truth, and then number three, I must apply its principles. Meaning, you can actually use this thing in your life. James 1 and 22 says, do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Do what it says. Find a verse for your situation. If you're depressed, if you're discouraged, if you're lonely, if you're having difficulties, there's scripture for every word. And the enemy wants to sow lies. Can I just tell you, I'm not just pointing, okay? He does it to me too. Been wrestling even this past week. I had some things happen to me last week, and even before last Sunday, I had just things coming against me. I called my wife. I told y'all last week I had a pity party. Put out invitations. Nobody came except the devil. He was the only one that showed up. And I called my wife, and she didn't really want to hear it. So I said, okay. So I called my sister, and she listened to it because she doesn't have to live with me every day. And so she was listening to me, and she began to speak the Word of God in my life. And I felt it rising up. And I thought to myself, that's what the problem is in many times in our lives, is that the enemy comes and he speaks bad things. That experience, that person, that past, whatever it is, speaks into our life. All the things that are contrary to God's will in our life. But God's Word, listen, His Word for you is life. His Word is that you rise and be healed in Jesus' name. His Word is that you be free in Jesus' name. Jesus said, I have come to set the captives free. You don't have to live the way that you've always lived. It can be a new day. Can I just say today? Today can be a new day. And I want to give you one more scripture in closing. I want to go back up. I told you I was expanding out on each side of that theme verse. I want to show you how this thing finishes out here and concludes, because it goes on to say this. There's something I want to see in this. Verse 24 says, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel." Again, our words. But be one that's gentle to all, and be able to teach, and be patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. So we're not pointing our fingers saying, get it together. No, that's not what we're saying here at this church. We never say that. We want you to experience life. We want you to experience God. When you experience God, things will change. Okay, we're not trying to give you a list of do's and don'ts here. I'll make sure that's clear. We're not here to give you a list of do's and don'ts and say, get it right, come back next week, let's see if you got it right. That's not who we are. And if that's been your experience in churches in the past, welcome to Cross Point, okay? Because what we want to do is just give you an opportunity to get in relationship with God. And when you understand who He is, then these things are naturally going to happen and change in your life when you experience the love of the Father. Amen? He's good, okay? Okay, so in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God, look at this, this is the goal, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, in other words, an opportunity where the blinder comes off, able to turn and see who He is, so that they may turn, look at this, and know the truth. Who is that? That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Look at verse 26. And that they may come to their senses. Remember the prodigal son? He came to himself. What am I doing? This is not who I am. I have a Father who loves me. Come on. Come to their senses and escape. Look at that word. Escape. Escape. You see, what we don't realize is that some of us are trapped by our circumstances, by our past, by whatever it is. We're trapped. We escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Does that give you a little insight that maybe that's what's been going on? That you've been tricked. And the enemy has you in a place where you didn't realize whose work was at hand here, but it's the enemy that has got you captive to do his will. There's a greater will that God has for you. Jesus said, he told us what the will of the enemy is. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, I've come that you might have life and life to the fullest. He said, I've come to set the captive free. There's power in Jesus' name. There's power in his word today. You can know him. You can be free today. You can be free in Jesus' name. You bow your heads with me. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. It brings such life, such peace, such joy. Oh, Holy Spirit, open our hearts to hear your voice, oh God. Open our hearts to receive your love and be changed forever in Jesus' name. My heads are bowed. And eyes are still closed. Today, you're here or you're watching online. And you're in a place of captivity in some way or another. But you need to experience this freedom that I've been talking about. I want to give you an opportunity today. And it's so simple. I can help you with that. And that is simply by talking to God and asking Him to come in. Begin a new life inside of you today. I want to just help lead you in a prayer. It's not a magical prayer. It's your prayer. All you got to do is mean it. I just want to help you with the words. I just want to help lead you in that. If you're here today, we're not going to embarrass you or have you come to the front. But while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, right where you're seated, I want to lead you in this prayer. But if that's you and you say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in boldly? Would you slip up your hand right now? Just hold it up for just a moment. Yes, yes, yes. That's you. Come on, just slip up a hand. Say, today's the day. Today's the day. I need to make a decision. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to right where you're seated. Between you and God. I just want to know who I'm agreeing with. God bless. bless you today. And you're watching online, join us today wherever you are. Join us in this prayer. It doesn't matter if it's live or recorded. God will hear your prayer because your prayer is live right now to God. Come on, pray with us. I want everybody to pray this prayer and pray it out loud for those that need to pray it. Come on, just to give privacy, right? This is personal between them and God. Would you just join me in this prayer? From your heart, can you just pray something like this? Just say, Jesus, today I believe in you. I believe that you came and died on a cross to pay my debt so I could have life. I invite you to come in my heart today. Forgive me for going my way. Today I choose your way. Come into my heart. Make me brand new. Come on, say this. I give you my life. With all of my heart, I'll follow you as you help me. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for every person who just prayed that simple prayer and invited you to come in. Now, as simple as that, God, I pray you'd come in and change their life and step by step direct their life. May the experience, the fellowship, the relationship they can enjoy today with you. God, I thank you, Lord, for this church called Crosspoint. God, I pray that you would help us now, God, to be living examples of who you are, that your word would be in us and through us to change lives. God, for everything accomplished, we give you all praise and honor. For us in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen.